Can someone read our key verse for us there at the top of your page, Ephesians 6, 1, please?
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Children, do you know this verse? You should have it memorized, right? Children, you need to memorize this verse. Parents, you need to teach this verse to your children and make sure that they have it memorized. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's a little song that we used to sing when I was in children's ministry that was literally this verse. And so we would say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for, and all the kids would scream out, this is right. And it was great. We're taking the word of God and we're planting it into their hearts. Children must obey their parents. That is what God calls them to do. Let's look at our overview here. In our last few lessons, we saw the roles and relationship of both the husband and the wife within the marriage union as they relate to one another. In Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, Paul spoke directly to husbands and wives. In chapter 6, Paul turns his attention to children. Paul systematically works his way through the family as he shows what each person's duty is within the family unit. Since the first relationship that a person has in life is the relationship with his or her own parents, this is the starting place and foundation of all earthly relationships. Think about that. The first relationship that you and I had in life was our relationship with our parents. That's the first one. That's the foundation. That's the starting point of relationships. As the starting place, it is where morality begins. That's where children are taught morality. It's where a person will either learn obedience or they will follow their heart in disobedience. They're going to learn one of the two. You either learn to obey or you're going to follow your heart, because your heart naturally will do what? Disobey. It's natural. It's the sin nature within every single one of us that we want to disobey. Do you have to teach children to disobey? No. They do it well enough all on their own. You don't have to teach them that, but you do have to teach them obedience. That's what we're called to do. The home is the place where children will either learn honor and respect, or they will be left to their own ways and live for themselves. One of the two is going to happen, and it's all there within the home. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says this, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Notice what this verse is saying here. The children are a gift from the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. That word gift there in verse 3 means heritage. That children are a heritage. This means that children are an inheritance given to the parents by God as a possession and trust. That is what God is doing when God gives parents children. God takes those children, because remember, He is sovereign over all, right? He is the one who gives life and He's the one who takes life. He is sovereign over all. So what God has done is He gives children as a gift to the parents. It's a gift from Him, an inheritance. And therefore, it's a great responsibility. They're a trust. God entrusts children to us as parents. You realize that? He has entrusted all of these little lives to us as parents to mold and shape and fashion and teach. There's a great responsibility upon us as parents. As with any inheritance, There is great responsibility. Great responsibility with parents. The parents have a responsibility and duty to develop and cultivate their children so that they will grow up to be righteous and wise. That's the duty of every parent, to cultivate that little heart. And that's where it starts. It starts in the heart. To cultivate that little heart so that they will grow up to be righteous. Especially as Christian parents, that is our duty, is to put God's word into their heart so that they will grow up to be obedient to the Lord. That's our duty as parents. Notice our next paragraph there. Children are also a blessing from the Lord. Children are also a blessing from the Lord. While many use Psalm 127 to show the blessing of babies, which they are, that little baby, after they're born and you hold them in your arms, a little child is a blessing. And you kiss them and you love them and you're just so excited to have this little life in your hands. Those babies are a blessing from the Lord. But watch this. In Psalm 127, the blessing that is there in verse 5 doesn't come until the children are grown. The blessing for the parents doesn't come until the children are grown. The children in verse 5 are grown sons who are with their father at the city gates defending the family against the enemies. And so the picture there in Psalm 127 is that there is some enemy, and that's where debates would happen and all of this stuff would go on at the city gates. Right there at the city gates, there would be somebody who would be there who would be a judge to judge what's going on between two families. You would have one family, there's a man there who has an enemy against him. The man shows up, his enemy is there against him, but who shows up with this man to defend him? His children. Specifically his sons. He's not there alone. He has children there with him to defend him. And that's where the blessing comes in. Now these sons who are there with him are a blessing to him. And why are they a blessing? These grown sons are a blessing because they were brought up to be obedient in the Lord by their father and their mother. That's where the blessing comes in. When they're grown. However, notice this in the middle of that paragraph there. However, some children grow up and turn out to be a curse to their parents. A curse? My children can be a curse to me? Listen to Proverbs 17:25. Look at what it says there. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. If you don't train children to be obedient, if you don't train them up in the Lord, they will grow up and they will be a grief to you and they will be a bitterness to their mother because of all the problems that those children will cause in the lives of their parents. It's a great responsibility, isn't it? Great responsibility for us. A foolish child who has not been brought up with the proper training toward obedience and godliness brings grief and bitterness to his parents. And you look at our prison system today. Think about our prison system today. How many children are locked up in prison? You think their parents are happy? Maybe some of them aren't. Get them out of the house or do whatever. Yeah, you've been bitter to me and you're go to prison. But they're not. Think about how sad those parents are. That's where their child has ended up. And why did they end up there? Because those parents, when those children were little, they did not teach them obedience. They didn't teach them obedience. And they didn't teach them honor, to honor their parents. And that's where they end up. Is God serious about obedience in children? Oh, you bet he is. Look at our last paragraph here. The Old Testament shows us how God views a rebellious child. Leviticus 20, verse 9 says this: if there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood guiltiness is upon him. Is God serious about obedience and children? You bet he is. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 20 says this. Well, God again, in Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, God again tells Israel that a stubborn or rebellious son who does not listen to the discipline of his parents is to be stoned to death. And what it talks about in Deuteronomy 21 is that the parents can bring them to the city gates where the judge is and say, my child is rebellious and a drunkard. So obviously they're grown. My child has become rebellious and a drunkard. They don't listen to our discipline. And that judge who's sitting there will say, stone him to death. Is God serious about obedience and children? You bet he is. And whose responsibility is it to teach them obedience? Parents. It's the parents. While this was rarely, if ever, practiced in Israel's history, because we don't read about it in the history of Israel, although God does say it in Deuteronomy 21, we don't ever see it practiced in there. And possibly because the threat was an effective deterrent, right? When they open up to Deuteronomy chapter 21 and they read to their children, look, if you are rebellious and a drunkard, well, I will bring you before the city gates, I will bring you before the judge, and you will be stoned to death. What do you think those children are going to do? Okay, I'll obey you. Whatever you want, mom and dad, I'll do it. The threat is great. But nonetheless, it shows how serious God is about the duty of children to obey and honor their parents. God is very serious. Let's look at the top of page 2. Today, we have rebellious children in our society who have upset many of our communities, right? We saw this just recently. Children running rampant in the streets, destroying cities. Why did they do that? Because they were never taught what? Obedience. And they were never taught it from their parents. So when the law comes along and the law says, you need to stop doing what you're doing, you know what they do? You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. And what did they do? Destroyed our cities. All of these children, because they were not taught obedience and honor when they were young. We've seen riots and looting from rebellious children who were never taught obedience and honor. How do children learn obedience and honor and become a blessing to their parents? They must be taught it. It is the duty of all children to obey and honor their parents. This is what God says to children. So let's work through our 4 points here. We're going to see, number one, the command for obedience. The command for obedience. Can someone read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 for us, please?
And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ.
Now, that is the heading of the entire structure of the family, right? We talked about that as we got into this. Be subject or submit to one another in the fear of Christ. What are all people commanded to do? Answer there, be submissive to one another. All people are commanded to be submissive to one another. Children are commanded to be submissive. Ephesians 6:1, we already read it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for? There you go, good job. How do children show submission then? Answer, by obeying their parents. By obeying their parents. So we see in Ephesians 5:21 the command to be in submission to one another. How does then that child practice submission in their life? They are to submit to their parents. They are to obey their parents. And they are to do exactly what their parents command them to do. Now, when is the only time a child is allowed to disobey their parents? When their parents command them or ask them to sin. When they command them or ask them to sin, then a child has permission to say, I will not. That's the only time. Which means, clean your room means do what? Clean your room. You got to obey. Take out the trash means you better take out the trash. They're not asking you to sin. They're telling you to do something, to serve the family. And that child is then called to submit to their parents and obey them and do what their parents ask them to do. Colossians 3:20, can someone read that for us, please? What is the child to be obedient in? Notice this. All things. In all things. Be obedient to your parents in all things or in everything. Obey them across the board. That is what you are commanded to do, to be obedient to your parents. How can a child be pleasing to God? Notice what it says there in Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. How can a child be pleasing to God? By doing what? By obeying their parents. By obeying their parents. When a child obeys their parents, they are being pleasing to the Lord. That's their worship to God. They're being pleasing to God by being obedient to their parents. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. Can someone read those verses for us, please? What does God command children to do in this verse? Honor their parents. To honor their parents. So they're commanded to be obedient to their parents and to show honor to their parents. And how do they show honor to their parents? By being what? Obedient to them. You see that? That's how that works. You'll see how a child honors their parents by how they obey or disobey their parents. You'll see that in a child. And so they're commanded to honor their parents. Let's go to Proverbs 1:8. Proverbs 1:8. Can someone read that for us, please?
Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching.
So Solomon is talking to his son here. Notice what he says. Hear, my son. What does Solomon teach his son to do? Two things. Number one, listen to your father. And number two, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen to your father. And don't forsake your mother's teaching. Now, when is the mother teaching their child? Just homeschool? No. All the time, right? Ladies, as we went through Proverbs 31 at the women's event, we talked about the honor that is there in the home. And as the wife is there, the mother is there in the home, what is she doing? She's pouring into her children. She is teaching her children. She is commanded there to teach God's word to her children. It's not just the father's job. It is the father's job as a spiritual leader, as we talked about last time. the spiritual leader of the home, but it is also the mother's job to pour in the word of God into her children. And so Solomon says to his son, listen to your father and don't forsake your mother's teachings, because she is teaching you wisdom. She's teaching you the word of God. Listen to that. You must listen, which means mothers need to teach their children the word of God. Fathers, you need to be leading your children in the word of God. You should be leading family worship. You should be the one who is praying for your children and your wife, leading them in that. That's the job of the father and the mother. And the child is to listen to their father and not forsake his mother's teaching. So that's the command for obedience. Let's look at the struggle against obedience. Yes, it is commanded, but there is a great struggle in this, right? We know that. Parents, you know there is a struggle within your child's heart to obey, right? Great struggle that's going on. Let's go to Romans 5 and verse 12. Can someone read that for us, please? So what happened when Adam fell? The whole human race became sinners. The whole human race became sinners. When Adam fell, notice that in verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, who's the one man? Adam. That's Adam there. But I thought Eve was the one. Federal headship. Who is responsible for his wife? Adam was. Who did God go to first after the fall? He went to Adam. Yes, Eve was the one who partook of the fruit and ate it and gave it to her husband. And he said, oh, good idea. Let's do this. Let's partake together. Adam, where were you? Your job was to guard and protect your wife, and you didn't do it. And so Adam is the one who's responsible. And sin entered into the world then through this one man. And the whole human race became sinners, including children. That's why the first word that they usually learn is what? No or mine. No or mine. Do they have to be taught that? No, why? Because it's in here. Do this. No. That's mine. Selfish, sinful little beings. It's what they are. They're sinful little beings. And that there is the doctrine of original sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is the doctrine of original sin. All have sinned, meaning every one of us in this room have become sinners. Let's go to Psalm 51 and verse 5. Can someone read that for us, please? Okay, this is David talking here. And what does David say? How did his mother conceive him? In sin. In sin. What is the nature of every child? They are sinners. They are sinners. That there is not saying that David's mother committed adultery and then conceived. That's not what this is talking about. That there was some sin that she was committing. But what David is saying there is, look, even at the moment of conception, I was a sinner. That's the nature that I inherited because of our forefathers. Because of Adam and Eve, sin has come into the world. And so when I was conceived, that's the nature of my heart. I have become a sinner. Children are sinners. Adults are sinners. We all are sinners. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. Can someone read that for us, please? So what are all people born with? A sin nature bent toward evil. A sin nature that is bent toward evil. Every single one of us is born with that. Born with that sin nature. Notice that the mind that is set on the flesh is what? Loves God? No. The mind that is set on the flesh is what? Hostile toward God. Hostile toward God. Because that is what the sin nature does. The sin nature doesn't drive us to Christ. The sin nature says, I don't want to do what Christ tells me to do. Because I'm in charge of me. Mine. It's all about number one. It's all about me. That's what the sin nature does. They don't desire to be obedient to the law of God. Children don't have a natural bent to be obedient to the law of God. We have to teach them the law of God. And we have to train them up. And we're going to talk about this next week, what that all entails for parents to do. But they have to be taught obedience. They have to be taught the law of God. We need to teach them God's word. Because no one is ever taught to disobey. It's just natural to them. That's the sin nature. It's bent toward evil. Notice what it says again in verse 7. It is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. Right? That's why when you see all of these people that are running around in the streets, rioting and looting and doing all of this stuff, guess what they are living out? Their flesh. Their sin nature. They are living that out because they don't subject themselves to the law of God. They don't even subject themselves to the law of our nation, of society. And sadly, that's the place that we're in. And why is our nation in that place? You know where it all started? In the home. It all started in the home, where there was not a father and a mother in that home to teach these children to obey their parents and to honor their parents. And so society runs rampant. And it's all because of the home. That's why. They allow their sin nature to go wild, and they do. James chapter 4, verse 4. Can someone read that for us, please?
You adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God?
What do parents have to battle against when teaching obedience? What if they have to battle against? The world. The world. Notice what he says there. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Your children will want to be a friend of the world. And the world is going, yes, come on, come be our friend. We want you to come and join us. And when they join the world, what happens? They're enemies of God. That's exactly what it says. To be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. When children go off and join the things of the world, they are saying, no, God, I don't want you. In fact, I am against you. They're an enemy of God. And parents, it's hard. I know it is. Because the world is grabbing at them and saying, come on, come here, come here. But it's our job, our duty to say, no, Christ, Christ, Christ. We've got to point them to Christ. Get them in the church. This is one of the things, just a side note. Let me just pause right here for a moment. This is one of the things that drives me nuts with our day, current modern day. I hear a lot of parents who say, we started going to such and such church because my children love it there. My children love it there. Who's leading the home? The children are. The children are leading the home. No, you take them to a church that is filled with scripture, with Bible, where they're going to be poured into. Well, I don't want to go. Well, tough. I'm in charge. You obey me. You are to honor me because that's what God's word tells you to do. You're coming to church with me. Let's go. But they might not like it. Pray for them. Love them. Encourage them. Come on, I love you. Let's go to church. This is what is best for you. Don't let children lead. It's not their job. It's not their duty. Their duty is to do what? Obey their parents. That's what God commands them to do. And sadly, there are churches out there that are filled with people who are sitting, adults who are sitting in the pews, not because they want to be there, but because their children want to be there. And why did the children want to be there? Because it's filled with games and rock and roll and all of this kind of stuff that's just feeding into their sinful nature. Worldly stuff that has been brought into the church. And now, what are parents having to battle against? The world. Where? In the church. How sad that it is that it's become that way. But parents, it's our duty to lead our children. We cannot allow children to lead. In fact, God even says, do you know what judgment is upon a nation? When children begin to lead. That's God's judgment. When children and women begin to lead a nation, that's a sign of God's judgment. Isaiah tells us about that. It's the duty of parents to lead their children and the duty of the children to obey their parents. And parents, we have to fight the world. It's a battle against the world because they're calling for our children's attention. But we've got to battle that. But there's something else that we have to battle as well. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 15. Can someone read that for us, please?
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate.
Now notice this. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing this. What is the Apostle Paul battling? His flesh. He's battling the flesh. What do parents have to battle against when teaching obedience? Their own flesh. Notice this. Not your child's flesh, although we understand the nature of your child's flesh, right? But you have to battle against your own flesh. Even the Apostle Paul, who we would say is Christian number one, right? The Christian above all Christians. He is it. Even the Apostle Paul has to battle his own flesh. And so parents, we have to even fight against our own flesh in training up our children, in teaching them obedience. Because there are going to be times where you're tired and you just want to go, okay, whatever you want to do. We've all done it. I know. Guilty. Guilty as charged. I'm not perfect. Been there. And the flesh is going, I don't want to teach him obedience right now. I'm tired. I'd much rather do my own thing right now. Do I really want to pour into my child? Not right now, because I want. That's the flesh. And that's what we have to battle. And we have to say no to our flesh. We have to put our flesh down. We have to battle that. And so, in training up our children, not only are we battling the world, but we're battling against our own flesh. And that's the struggle against obedience. Let's look at point number three, the teaching toward obedience. The teaching toward obedience. Can someone read Proverbs 22:6, please? All right, we got to stop right here because a lot of people read this verse and they look at this and they think that it's a promise. They look at this, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. I took my child to Sunday school. I brought them to church every Sunday. I taught them the Bible. I did all of this stuff. Why aren't they a Christian? Doesn't God promise that? It's It's not what this proverb is talking about here. In fact, let's just answer our question here. How can a parent teach a child obedience? Don't let that child go his own way. Don't let that child go his own way. Now, let me read to you from the LSB. They translated this so well. Here's how they translated this verse. Train up a child according to his way. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the best translation of this verse. Train up a child according to his way. No, the child's way. Train up a child according to the child's way. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Meaning this, if you train up a child according to the ways that the child wants to go, which is what? No and mine. Even when he's old, he's not going to depart from that. Why? What has he gotten his whole life? His way. And his way is always what? Sinful. That's the nature of his heart. But I want. Okay. When you do that, guess what's going to happen to that child? When they grow up, they're not going to depart from that. They're going to continue to say, I want. Gimme, mine. And we have a culture that is filled with children who are doing this very thing. And why do they do it? Because the parents have trained up their children in the way that their children want to go. They have allowed their children to lead the family instead of the parents leading the family. Right. So it would say here, train up a child in the way he should go, meaning the way that he, if you look at the Hebrew there, the way that he desires to go, that there's a desire in him. So it's not completely wrong to say in the way that he should go, but the better translation is the way that he wants to go, or according to his own way. Don't train up that child and let them do whatever they want to do. You let them do whatever they want to do, when they get old, what are they going to do? Whatever they want to do. They're not going to submit to the law of God. They haven't been taught obedience. They haven't been taught honor. They haven't been taught respect. And then you look at society and you go, yep, that's where we're at. We can see it on display. So what do? How can a parent teach a child obedience? Don't let that child go his own way. Don't let him go that way. You have to say no. You've got to put parameters there. You've got to put guardrails up. You've got to put fences up. And listen, children thrive with that. They thrive with that. When you let a child, it's a cruel thing to do, to let a child do whatever a child wants to do. It's cruel. You don't love, in fact, God says you hate your child if you do that. If you do not practice, if you do not use the rod and discipline your child, God says you hate your child. To let them do whatever they want to do is to hate your child. No, we're to love our children and to put up boundaries and to say, no, you cannot do this. You can do this and you cannot do this. Isn't that what God does with us? God does the very same thing with us. You can do this and you can't do this. Why does he do it? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. And that's what we are to do with our children. Proverbs 29:15. Can someone read that for us, please?
The rod of reproof.
Sorry, can you read that again? So what will happen to a child left to himself? He will bring shame to his mother. He will bring shame to his mother. Because what happens? All of a sudden, that child is an adult now, and they're doing whatever they want to do. And now, who is reflected upon? The mother, the parents, right? It goes back to them. And they're going to look at this grown child and go, why is this grown child so out of control? And what's the obvious question? Were you ever taught from your parents? It goes back to them. It goes back to parents. What did your parents teach you, right? We've all heard that question. What did your parents teach you? Well, for some children, it was nothing. They let them go their own way. And then you see the result of it when that child is old. Now, here's the amazing thing. Christ even learned obedience. Do you know that? Hebrews 5:8. What did Christ learn? Answer there. We got to kind of fly through this. Christ learned obedience. He learned obedience. Not that Christ was ever disobedient, because he wasn't, right? He is perfect and he never sinned. But he learned obedience that was taught to him by who? His parents, Joseph and Mary. They taught him obedience as a child. And every time his parents told him to do something, you know what he said? Okay. His first two words weren't no and mine. They were yes and whatever pleases you. Because he's perfect. He's perfect. But he still had to learn obedience. Why? Because he's fully God and he's fully what? Man. So in his humanity, he had to learn obedience. But he was perfect. And yet he still learned obedience. Think about being a brother or sister of Jesus. Yikes. We'll have to talk to James when we get to heaven, right? James, tell us, what was it like? Man. Yeah. All mom would tell us is be more like Jesus. He was perfect, but he learned obedience. Luke 2:51, what did Christ do in relation to his parents? Answer there, he submitted himself to their authority. He submitted himself to their authority because he was taught that as a child. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, this is when he's 12 years old. And they go to the Passover. Remember, they left him there, right? And look in verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. He subjected himself to his parents, who obviously taught him to do what? Obey. And submit yourself to us. And he did that. He submitted to their authority. Luke 2:52. What four ways did Jesus grow? Let me just read it real quick. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. What four ways did Jesus grow? Number one, he grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. That is, he grew intellectually. As a child, as a baby, going to 12 years old, and going on. He learned wisdom. He was taught what is good and what is bad. Wisdom is putting into practice then the knowledge that you have. And he grew in wisdom. Number two, he grew in stature. Not only did he grow intellectually, but he also grew physically. Obviously, he was a baby born in a manger. But how did he grow in stature? How did he grow physically? Because his parents aided him in that. Parents aid children in their physical growth from birth to adulthood. Think about that little child. That little child is totally dependent upon who? Mother. That little infant, that little baby, is totally dependent upon mom. 100% dependent upon mom. And that mother nurtures that child and loves that child and helps that child to grow. And the father comes along and provides for the family so that these children can eat and continue to grow. Children need their parents, even just for physical growth. They're totally dependent upon their parents. Number three, the third way that Jesus grew was in favor with God. In favor with God. That is, he grew spiritually. Spiritually. Children need to grow intellectually, physically, and spiritually. Listen, they need to be taught the gospel. Children must be taught the gospel. The gospel should be something that is continually taught again and again within the home. Teach them the gospel. Teach them the gospel. Teach them the gospel. When you discipline your child, take them back to the gospel. When you're not disciplining your child, teach them the gospel. Encourage them in the gospel. Take them back to the gospel. That's their greatest need. It's the greatest need of a child's heart. Number four, he grew in favor with men. He grew in favor with men. That is, socially. Socially. He grew intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. That is, they have to learn to be thoughtful of others. Children have to learn how to survive in society. They have to be taught that. And teaching them obedience is the first step in learning the social skills that they need in life. So that way, when they walk into a job and the manager says, do this, they don't go, huh, not today, maybe I'll get to it later. You know what the manager's going to say? You're fired, right? How are they going to live in society? They won't know how to live in society. They need to be taught it from their parents. And it starts at a young age by teaching them obedience. Teach them obedience. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 7. What are parents commanded to do? There, teach their children the law of God. Teach their children the law of God. The things that God commands us in His Word, it's the parents' responsibility and duty to teach them. Teach them, teach them the law of God. That is why in Sunday school here, what do we teach our children? You know what they learn? The Bible. Not good morals. Not just some stories about a few characters. They learn the Bible. You know what they learn on Wednesday night? Theology. Systematic theology at a child's level so that they can understand it. But they learn the Bible and they learn theology. What are they learning? The law of God. What do we want to do as a church? Just help reinforce what you should be doing with your children at home already. That's our job. That's our duty as a church, is to come alongside parents and help them as parents are teaching their children the law of God. And we need to teach them and encourage them through positive reinforcement as we teach them the law of God. Give them positive reinforcement. Children need that. But Proverbs 22:15. Actually, let's read this. Proverbs 22:15. Can someone read that for us, please?
Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him.
So notice this. Not only does a child need positive reinforcement, but they also need what? Discipline. They need discipline. How does discipline help teach obedience? It drives away foolishness in the heart. It drives away foolishness in the heart because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline will remove it far from it. Children need discipline. So that we as parents are driving that foolishness out of them, away from them. And then we come back with positive reinforcement and we love them and we care for them and we teach them the law of God. And then when they disobey, we discipline. And we give them the gospel as we discipline them. And then we give them positive reinforcement and we teach them the law of God and we encourage them. You see that? That's how you're training up a child. Let's look finally at our Last point, the attitude in obedience. What is the attitude to be? Ephesians 6:1. How are children to obey their parents? In the Lord. In the Lord. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. What is the attitude to be in obedience? They obey their parents as if they are obeying the Lord. And we need to teach them that. When you obey me, you are obeying God. Why? Because what does God command children to do? Obey your parents. So when you're obeying me, you are obeying God. Whoa, I'm obeying God? Yeah, you are. And you know, when I told you to take out the trash and you did it, great job. Way to obey. You know who you ultimately obeyed in that? You obeyed God. I did? That's right. You did. Keep it up. Keep obeying. That's the attitude of their heart. They need to be taught obedience so that they will desire to obey God. That's what we're after. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. How is this principle applied to children? Their obedience is to be for the Lord. Obedience is to be for the Lord. Which says this, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Do it for the Lord. And that's the attitude that we need to teach our children as we get to their heart. To say, look, obey, obey, obey. Why? Because ultimately you're obeying the Lord. And we need to teach them that heart attitude to be obedient to Christ. Let's look at what MacArthur says here in this little section. The children's obedience is the fuel for all their learning and growth. And the better they learn to obey, the more proficiently they will grow in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. We must teach them obedience. Application. Children. Children. Are you obeying your parents? Are you obeying your parents? That's what God commands you to do. Yeah, yes. No. Honor is lifelong, but obedience is not. In the sense that a parent cannot tell a child, let's say, where they are to live. You must live in such and such city because I am your parent. Nope. At that point, when they're off, when they get married, they leave and they cleave. Yep. So they don't have to obey at that point, right? But they must honor their parents still. And they will desire to honor their parents because they've been taught it from a young age. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for this is right. That's what you were commanded to do. Parents, are you teaching your children obedience and the gospel? Don't leave out the gospel. Don't leave it out. Teach them obedience. But obedience wrapped up in that is the gospel. Within the gospel is what? Obedience. Repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ. That's what you must do. And we must continually command our children to do that. Repent and put your faith in Christ. Teach them the gospel. Grandparents, you have a duty in this as well. Are you teaching your children obedience and the gospel? Grandparents, you have a great influence in the lives of your grandchildren. Teach them to obey. Come alongside their parents and teach them obedience and teach your grandchildren the gospel. They need that reinforcement throughout the whole family line as we pass it on from generation to generation. What is the duty of children? To obey. That's what they're commanded to do. Let's pray. Father, we have much to learn from this. As your children, we are commanded to obey. We know what Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. that means obedience. Father, I pray that you would help all the parents who are here this morning and the grandparents who are here to teach the children obedience. For Sunday school teachers and all of those who have an influence in the lives of the children in our church, Lord, I pray that you would help us to pass this truth on, this command on, to the children of our church, that they would understand and know what their duty is to obey their parents and to honor their parents. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful in this, that we would love our children. This is a loving thing to do for them. God, give us a greater love for children. We thank you for the blessing that they are. We thank you for the gift that they are. And we know that it is a great responsibility. And so, Lord, we need you. We need your help to guide us and lead us in that. I pray for every child who is here this morning and who will be in Sunday school this morning. Lord, I pray that you would draw them to repentance and faith, that you would save every child who comes to Faith Bible Church, that you would be their Lord and their Savior, that they would fall on their knees in repentance, that they would turn to Christ and put their trust in him for salvation. And Lord, may you be glorified in all of it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.